Hey everyone, welcome or welcome back to the Summit Church podcast. At the end of this episode, be sure to take a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel to catch more content that will encourage you in your journey with Jesus. And if this message inspires you, share it with a friend. I hope the next few minutes will be a blessing to you. Enjoy.
Julie's story is not only powerful because of the specifics of her story, it's an incredible story in that regard, but Julie's story is powerful because the truth of what Julie experienced is available to each one of us. It's a story of God speaking to and working in the life of someone who's trusting him. It's a reminder that God's grace is for us, and God's grace goes before us and gives us an opportunity to respond. And my guess is that there are a lot more Julies in this room. People who have stories like that about what God has done in your life. And my hope is that over the next several weeks, as we begin a journey together as a church family, that you will have an even more powerful story to tell. If we haven't had a chance to meet before, my name is Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here at the Summit. And today is the first Sunday of 2024. Happy New Year's. Yes, it's good to see you here. And this new year, we want to do something a little bit different. So when you walked in, you should have got something that looked like this. Do you have one of these? What I found at 9 o'clock is that people said yes, and then they ignored me when I needed them to have it. So here's what we're going to do. Quick exercise. Find this, and you're going to show me that you have it, okay? Because we're going to come back to it. Good, 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 good. You're going to need this. Keep it handy. Don't tuck it under your chair or something. We're going to get to that in just a moment because it's an important part of where we're going. You know, last week was the last week of 2023, and Pastor CG preached, and Pastor CG preached an incredible message. And here's my favorite thing about when CG preaches. I always get emails from people that tell me that they so appreciate CG because she's so sweet and thoughtful. Which makes me wonder what you think about me. So I'm okay not being sweet, I suppose. But last week, Pastor CG had a powerful message for us. And the message can be summarized in this one phrase. God isn't done with you. Doesn't matter where you are in life. It doesn't matter what you've experienced. It doesn't matter how old you are. God isn't done with you. There's something more on the horizon. It's a message of hope. And this week, we're doubling down on that message of hope, and we're going to share even more specifically what that hope looks like when it multiplies in our own lives, because I believe that God has so much more for your life in 2024. When I think about 2023, I think about the personal challenges in my own life. 2023 was the year that my mom passed away, and those are difficult things to navigate. When you experience loss, they can be a little disorienting, and you have to make your way through what is in front of you. And I experienced God's grace in incredibly profound ways in 2023. And a lot of that was due to the love and support that you showed to me during that time. But as a church, we experienced some difficulty in 2023 as well. Do you remember that? I mean, in 2023, our church disaffiliated from our denomination, and we had a transition in our leadership. Now, for most churches, that would be enough for the entire lifespan of the church, but we just did it in one summer because we were just trying to knock it all out and have smooth sailing from here on out. And 2023 could have been a year defined by difficulty and trouble and stress and pressure and division, but it wasn't. The story of 2023 is something altogether different. The story of 2023 here at the Summit is a story of God's faithfulness unfolding in profound ways. I'm going to give you two stats because I believe this to be true. Leadership is an art. Some of it is about feel and knowing people and making decisions based on what you presume to be right and asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you. But there's also something about science that goes into leadership as well. And so data, numbers, statistics tell us something. And so I want to share two statistics with you that I think summarize where we are as a church when we begin 2024. And just as a warning, these may be numbers that incite you to applaud and cheer and be excited because these are incredible realities for us as a church family. The first one is this. In 2023, our in-person attendance at the Summit Church was up 18.6%. That is exciting stuff. And let me tell you why that's exciting. That's exciting because most churches experience 1% changes in their church attendance. And it typically is 4 or 5% increase one year and 4 or 5% decrease the following year, causing the church to be stagnant or flat or plateau. Not only do we experience growth higher than in any rate that you would expect an organization to experience, especially an organization that is more than 150 years old. God is on the move here at the Summit. And if you needed maybe just a little bit more proof or a number that would bear that out, it's this one. Attendance at Christmas Eve was up 33% over 2022. Is that pretty cool? I think that speaks to what God is doing in the life of our church. And here's the thing. As we grow numerically, as new people walk in the doors, as we experience life together in different ways, it requires that we become even more committed to our personal spiritual growth, which is why you have this. Can you show this to me? Do you still have this handy? This is crucial. This is the five practices field guide. You should have received it when you came in. You may have gotten a pen or something too, because inside here, there's a place to take notes. There are some resources that I will point your attention to during the course of the message. And there are tools in here for you to evaluate your own spiritual life. Now, it's important for you to know that I'm not evaluating your spiritual life for you. You will be given the opportunity to think about where you are spiritually and begin to make a plan for how you're going to grow over the coming months. So, do you still have this book? Great. Bring it back with you next week as well. Because in this book are each of the 5 weeks that we're going to be covering together. This whole idea began on July 20th, 2023. And you may wonder how I know the date so specifically. It's because at that day, I also had an incredible meal at Meet Mitch. I drove back from Arkansas. I was at camp that morning. I drove back. I got in my car after I arrived at the church, and I drove to Meet Mitch, and I had burn-ins and sticky fries, and they have popcorn that has their seasoning on it on the table, and it was just a delightful experience. It was ingrained on my mind how that went. And then we had a conversation around a table where these three words took hold. Those words, so much more. A vision for what could be for the people of the Summit Church. And as it began to take shape, we came up with these five practices that we think will help us get where we want to go, to experience the fullness of life that Jesus offers. And those five words are praying, growing, giving, serving, and inviting. And I know that you're thinking, I think we've heard those before sometime between July and now. And you have, because I've been so excited, I couldn't not say it. We weren't ready to launch it, so we've been dripping it out bit by bit. You've heard me say so much more in almost every sermon I've preached since July, whether you know it or not. You've heard us say praying, growing, giving, serving, and inviting in all kinds of ways along the way because we wanted to plant the ideas about what could be if we lean into this and we begin to live out the truth that God has for us. So today, we're beginning our series, and the first word that we're looking at is praying. It's word number one. Now, the other four, I think you could mix up, and they could be in any kind of order you wanted to. We did them in an order that made sense for us, and we felt like rolled off the tongue a little bit. But this praying word, it's actually important that it's first. Here's why. This is what Paul says about prayer in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Paul writes, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything." Paul knows that you and I are prone to worry, that you and I can identify things to worry about. And Paul says, don't worry, pray. And then he gives us a formula. He says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Tell God, thank him. Tell God, thank him. This is how we pray. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. This is where faith begins. We begin to entrust our lives to God. We did an entire series about this recently. It was called Live Like This, and it was a message series about the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And if you want to watch that, you can go back and see all of those resources on YouTube. I would encourage you to do that. I think there's some helpful content to be found there. But there's this one idea that pulls through that I think is so incredibly important. If I had to summarize the whole series on prayer that we did, I would summarize it with this phrase: prayer changes me. Prayer changes me. And prayer changes me because when I pray, I'm acknowledging that I am not in control. When I pray, I'm giving my trust and my control to someone else. I'm putting my trust and my faith and my hope in God. When prayer is at the forefront of my life, I am changed and the world around me changes. And so today, I want to paint a picture for you of what it might look like for you to be a praying person. And I'm going to do it by giving you a made-up word, okay? So here's the phrase. We want to become a prayer who loves prayer. Now, I hyphenated that word because I want to emphasize what I'm saying here. The person who's praying should love what they're doing. A prayer who loves prayer. One of the most profound stories about the difference that prayer can make and the challenges of praying is found in the story of a guy named Nehemiah. It's an Old Testament story, and I'm guessing you don't have Nehemiah's biography at the front of your mind, so let me paint a picture for you of Nehemiah's life. Nehemiah is an exile who is cast out into Babylon, and eventually he makes his way back, and he's in an area that's modern-day Palestine. And he's near the king Artaxerxes. He's kind of in that sphere. He's serving him, spends time in the palace. And as he's spending time in the palace, he learns something that troubles him. And the thing that he learns is this: his hometown of Jerusalem has been destroyed. The city walls have been torn down. The city is in disarray. It's in ruins. And Nehemiah is troubled. This place that he loved, the place he grew up, it's no longer in the condition it once was, and Nehemiah is burdened, and he wants to do something about it. And the first thing you would typically do if there was an ancient city that needed to be resurrected is you would build a wall, because the wall gives you boundaries, and the wall provides protection. And so Nehemiah had in his mind the idea of rebuilding the city wall around Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah took action. And his action in his first step towards rebuilding the wall has nothing to do with bricks and mortar. In fact, this is what happens in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. These are the memoirs of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. In Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1, we hear some detail about the timing of Nehemiah's vision. Now, what's important to know is not the place, which we have here, but the year and the time. Nehemiah begins, his vision takes root in the fall of the 20th year of the king's reign. Now, why is that significant? It's significant because it's at this time that Nehemiah begins to pray. In fall, Nehemiah wakes up and he prays and he asks God and he looks and he doesn't see any movement, any activity, based on what he hoped to see. And so what did Nehemiah do? The next day, Nehemiah got up and prayed. And Nehemiah didn't see anything happen. And the next day, Nehemiah got up and prayed, and he didn't see anything happen. And the next day, Nehemiah got up and prayed, and he didn't see anything happen. He did this day after day, week after week, month after month. Nehemiah prayed, and yet he didn't see results. Until Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. Early the following spring, in the month of Nisan, Nehemiah has an opportunity to interact with the king. For 4 months, Nehemiah prayed that he would have an opportunity to ask the king for the opportunity to rebuild the wall. For 4 months, Nehemiah saw no activity. For 4 months, Nehemiah saw no action. For 4 months, Nehemiah didn't commit to doing it himself. For 4 months, Nehemiah did nothing but pray. Nehemiah's bold prayer is not answered immediately. Perhaps you can relate to that. Perhaps you've prayed for something or someone, and it seems like you've prayed forever, and that thing has never happened. And the temptation is to just do it yourself, isn't it? I mean, if God's not going to do it, surely I can. That becomes our mantra or our motto. But in 4 months, there was something happening, something behind the scenes, something unexpected. God was preparing the way for Nehemiah to have the conversation. Prayer often feels slow and fruitless, and we're tempted to forget about it altogether. But look what happens, because Nehemiah is persistent in prayer. Nehemiah prays and asks God for an opportunity to talk to the king, and in his conversation with the king gives him a thumbs up, two thumbs up, to go and begin rebuilding the city walls. And Nehemiah assembles his team, and the rebuilding efforts begin. The people who are out there watching what's happening can't believe Nehemiah's faith in the way that he acted in this moment. Why is he driven like this? What is he doing? And in 52 days, the wall to the city is completely rebuilt, and Nehemiah's work is done. But it's in this moment that God's work is just beginning, because revival sweeps across Jerusalem. And why? Because Nehemiah continued to pray. The biggest problem we have with prayer is that we stop praying when we don't see the results that we hoped to see. We stop praying because we get bored of the things we're praying about. Why do we get bored? Because we tend to pray about the same things, right? We pray about our family and our future and our finances, and if we have time, we pray for our friends. And we say the same things, and we feel like it's just prayers bouncing off of the ceiling, and we don't know what to do. Because it's easy to pray faithfully for a little while. It's also easy to eat healthy for a little while. I'm eating healthy until someone shows up with donuts the next morning at work, right? It's easy to commit to drinking in moderation for a little while. It's easy to commit to not gossiping for a little while. It's easy to commit to praying for a little while. But if I am going to become a prayer who loves prayer, it means that I change my approach just a little bit. Today, I want to share with you something that's really practical that we can do. In order to do that, I want to remind you, if you follow me on Facebook or Instagram, you've already seen this. I love to read, and I don't tell you about every single book I've read because I don't need any more help looking like a big dork, okay? So just know I am reading books, and I typically keep them to myself, but this year, I wanted you to know. Why? Because my goal was to read 52 books, and this year, I read 60 books. I read and or listened to 60 books. Now, there were lots more that I read part of because, you know, I was researching a sermon or finding an illustration or something, but 60 books that I actually completed. And I shared with you my top three books. What were those top three books? One was The Art of Thinking Clearly, which if you want to make arguments about the way that we process information, it's great to read. One was John Grisham's book called The Exchange. It was part two of his book, The Firm. Also a really good book. But the one I want to highlight today is this one. Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. Now, I know you hear the title of that book and you're like, well, this is fantastic. If the title of the book tells us what to do, I've got the second half down, right? I mean, I can live like a fool. But here's the thing. It's the first part that's actually the hard part and the important part. This is what the author writes. He says, most people, even most Bible-believing Christians, find little life in prayer. Prayer is boring or obligatory or confusing or most often all of the above, which is why it's so vital for us to think through how we might become a prayer who loves prayer. Prayer sounds like a good idea, but it's often hard to stay committed to because we tend to be people who need to check something off of the list. We need to see movement and action and activity. And when it doesn't happen, we're tempted to simply do it on our own. So today, I want to give you an idea about how you might pray that's different than perhaps you have prayed before. If you have your field guide, you can take notes on this. You can find a spot to take notes on page 7. And I do believe that this is something that can be helpful for you as you begin to incorporate prayer into your life. I remember the first time I heard this. It was more than 20 years ago. I was sitting in a class in seminary. And it was a spiritual formations class. And our professor shared with us about the idea of praying scripture. Praying through the Bible. And he shared with us how you might find scripture to pray through. And so here's just a super easy, simple way to do it. You pray the psalm of the day. Now, how did the Psalm of the Day work? Today is January 7th, 2024. So the Psalm of the Day is first one, Psalm 7. Then you start adding 30. Psalm 7, Psalm 37, Psalm 67, Psalm 97, Psalm 127. Those are the Psalms of the Day. So if you're trying to figure out how do I pray, what do I pray, when do I pray, you open up your Bible to a Psalm of the Day and you begin to pray. What do I mean? Let me show you. Let's read Psalm 127, verse 1. We're going to read this out loud together. Are you ready? Let's try again. We're going to read this out loud together. Are you ready? Here we go. Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. So if I were going to pray this passage of scripture, here's what I would do. I would open up to Psalm 127:1, and I would read it. And as I read it, I would take note of things that jump out in my mind. So for me, I would be reading through, and I would say, unless the Lord builds the house. And the word house jumps out at me. And so I would stop, and I would pray. So when I think about a house, what do I think about? I think about my family, the people in my home. So I would pray for my wife, and I would pray for my kids. And I would pray for anything specific that's going on there. Right now, I would be praying that God would heal our microwave that is now on the dining room table because it does not work. I would be praying about specific things related to my house. And you know what also jumped my mind? You. Because I would be thinking about the house of the Lord, God's people who gather together. I would think about the gentleman who shared with me earlier that he had two strokes this week and he's having tests. I would think about the lady in our church who texted this morning and said her father passed away. I would pray about the person who I just passed in the lobby who's entertaining a new job offer. I would be praying about all of these things simply because I read the word house, and I allowed that to spur some thoughts in my mind about how I might pray. And then when I feel like, okay, I've done house, okay, I'm ready to move on, I would continue reading. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, and that word watches would catch my attention. And it would catch my attention for a very specific reason. It's because I have a friend who loves watches. In fact, he loves watches so much that he wears one on each wrist. He has a mechanical watch on this wrist, an Apple watch on this wrist. His name is Wes. He's a pastor up in North Kansas City area. And Wes is an incredible guy. And so when I read the word watches, I'll pray for Wes. I'll pray for Wes's ministry. I'll pray for Wes's family. I'll pray for Wes's wife, Katie. And I'll pray that right now, as Wes is gathered together with his church family, that God would bless the ministry that's happening in that place. Do you see what I'm doing here? I'm using the words that pop in my mind out of Scripture to guide my thoughts towards things that I can pray for. Why is this powerful? Dr. Don Whitney, my spiritual formations professor, wrote a book called Praying the Bible, and this is what he wrote. So basically, what you're doing is taking words that originated in the heart and mind of God and circulating them through your heart and mind back to God. By this means, his words become the wings of your prayers. The best thing about praying scripture is you can do it if you have 2 minutes or if you have 2 hours. You can pray through one psalm. You can pray through all the psalms. You can pray through anything that you find in the pages of scripture. It's a way to guide our hearts and minds towards being a prayer who loves prayer. Now, if you have your field guide handy, you can open it up to page 13. And I just want to draw your attention to a QR code right here at the bottom of page 13. When you scan that, it will take you to a resource page. Now, we're not just saying, hey, you need to be a prayer that loves prayer. See you next week. It's not like that. Instead, we're giving you all kinds of resources about how you might do this. So you scan this QR code, it takes you to a resource page, and there are lots of resources on this page, including a link to buy that book, Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools, links to all kinds of prayer exercises that you may want to engage in, because I know that the easier we make this to do, the more likely we are to do it. And so we want to give you resources so that you can take next steps, because our goal is that in 2024, you will be a prayer who loves prayer. So how do you get there? You have to start. You have to make a decision to get going. On page 9 of that field guide, there's a place for you to make a plan about how your prayer life will look in 4 weeks and 6 months and in 1 year. And just so you know, if you're hoping that we'll do this for a week or so or 5 weeks, then we'll never do it again, you're going to be disappointed, because it's going to come back. we're going to check in and see how we're doing in our growth in these areas, because we want 2024 to be a year that our lives are changed because of the way we are living out the five practices. At the end of the series, we're going to give you an opportunity to share your plan with us about how you intend to grow. And you know that I would never ask you to do something that I'm not doing myself. And so I've already made a commitment in all five of these areas: praying, growing, giving, serving, and inviting. When it comes to praying, my commitment looks like this. You know, every day I open up my journal and I write scripture. That's on the right side of the page. And the left side has really just been a place for me to write other notes or random things for the past several years that I've been doing this. But I made a change recently, and that left side is a place that I'm writing down the prayer requests that you share with me. If you ask me to pray for something, it's going to land in my journal so that I can be intentional about the way that I pray, about the way that I am lifting up these requests before God. In 2024, I'm committing to a continued routine of daily prayer with increased intentionality so that I can be praying for the needs that you have in your life. And this week, I hope that you'll be making a plan about what your praying will look like. I hope that you'll be making a plan so that you know what your 2024 is going to look like and how you can be successful. So each week, I have an invitation for you. Bring this back, which means you would need to come each of the weeks. Bring it back. Take notes. Take it home. Scan the QR codes. Look at the resources, because we want you to be successful. The goal isn't that all of us make the same changes, that all of us make the same commitments, that all of us do the same things and end up in the same place. Because spiritual growth is chaotic and it's messy and it's unique and all of those things. But my goal is that every person who calls the Summit Church their home will take a step in each of these five areas during the year 2024. Why? It's not about doing better or being better. It's not about increasing the number of people we have in small groups or the number of people who sit in seats in worship. I think that will happen. But it's about us experiencing the fullness of life that Jesus offers. In John 10:10, John says, "I've come that they might have life and have it to the full." And if we want to experience the fullness of life, it's at our fingertips. And in 2024, I believe that for your life, God has so much more. Will you pray with me? God, I pray today that you'll help us to become a prayer who loves prayer, to lean into a discipline of prayer, where we allow ourselves the space and the time and the freedom to communicate directly with you, the God of the universe. And God, as we pray today, we remember that sometimes just praying the words of Scripture are the best thing that we have. And they focus our heart and our mind on you. And so today, God, hear this prayer from the Apostle Paul, that out of the glorious riches you may strengthen us with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may dwell in our hearts as we're rooted and established in love, that we may know how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is, and to know the love that surpasses all knowledge, and to you who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to your power at work within us, to you be all glory and honor. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.